for his mercy. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we read in our New Testament reading today. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, hear now, the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence where I think to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ's, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, we might say, shouldn't we, that the problem that the Corinthian church is having toward the Apostle Paul here is not an old problem, but a new problem as well. We see this today, that there are some ministers that seem to make it their bent to use their social media presence to criticize other ministers. And beloved, Paul is speaking directly against that here. He is being criticized by those who are in Corinth, and he's being criticized on his bodily appearance, on how he appears. They have taken something that the Apostle Paul would make use of as a pastoral help to them, and they've turned it into something else, a way to criticize him. What Paul is criticized for here is being bold in his letters and contemptible in his appearance. That when he appeared among them, he didn't partake of what we might call parchment courage. Today we say keyboard courage, right? You know, Paul is really bold when he writes because he doesn't have to be here and face the consequences of it, is the implication. What does the apostle say to that? He says that you're considering us according to the flesh of things and not according to the spirit of things. You have judged us according to the outward appearance. Now, he already said a few chapters back, didn't he, that we know no man after the flesh, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, all things are become new. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. And that's how we want to know each other, Paul says. And so now he will build on that foundation, and he will say to them, you don't want to know me after the flesh. You want to know me after the Spirit. You want to know me after the communication that I have brought to you, whether bodily or in letter. These are the things that you want or ought to be hearing from me. So it's very clear here what Paul is doing, in that he has been criticized for the way he appears to them. And it's not just his bodily appearance, right? I mean, there's something there, but it's not just that. What does he say? His letters are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. So it's not just the way he looks, but it's the way he phrases things, the way he says things. Contemptible. Contemptible is what? He's condescended. He's come down. Well, Paul had... And Paul will say that he has done that specifically and pastorally for their profit. He said, shall I come when I appear? Shall I come with a rod? Or shall I come in the meekness of and gentleness of Christ? So, the first thing that we see here as a use for us is that we don't want to take the meekness and gentleness, the lack of confrontation in the ministry as something that means that it is not worthy to be listened to. We ought to be listening for those things that are indeed that word of Christ to us, no matter how gently given, that would be a rebuke to us, although not given perhaps as a rebuke, but a mild correction. We don't want to have to draw our elders down the road to where a rebuke must be given. But this is what the Corinthians have done here. They have pressed Paul's words aside, and they've used insulting speech to do so, such that they have driven him now to the point of, when I come, remember that my authority that I have, even if I boast of it, I will not be ashamed, because it is given to me for your edification and not for your destruction. Of course, the implication there is that I have a particular edification for you that these other teachers to whom you've gravitated don't have. They don't have that for you. And this is what he'll talk about toward the end of the chapter. So then he will utter that famous passage, right? You're looking at carnal weapons. And let's remember that the church never goes forward with carnal weapons. And whenever she goes forward with carnal weapons, whenever she purports to go forward with carnal weapons, she stumbles. That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but, and we expect the next word to be spiritual, but it's not. They're not carnal, they're mighty. Because carnal weapons are the weak things of this world. But these spiritual weapons are indeed the mighty weapons. That's where strongholds will be pulled down. What strongholds? What are the things that are being cast down? Look at verse 5, casting down imaginations. The Greek word there is not something that we would say are imaginations, like, let me use my imagination here, right? Or it was just my imagination. No, that's not the word that's being used here. The word is the same word we get logic from. The same word we get particular derived thinking, a procedure of thought. I think I've taught you before from the fall, Genesis chapter 3, that Eve had a very interesting reasoning process. She saw that the tree was good for food. She looked at it, that it was pleasant to the eye. She looked at it also that it was desirable to make one wise. And so in that process of reasoning, she threw aside the word of God and ate the fruit. It's that kind of reasoning that Paul is speaking about here. It is reasoning that is entirely based upon what we see or feel or hear apart from the word of God. And those kinds of reasonings, beloved, they must be cast down. And the only way that they will be cast down is, as Dr. Gordon Clark once said, by a rational massage of the word of God to clear up that Charlie horse between your ears. Right? Yeah, it's only he can say it. So we want those things, those imaginations that are indeed what the world would call a sound reasoning process. We want those things that are merely human reasoning processes cast down. And what do we want then? Those things, they exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and they bring, instead, we want to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The way we think, beloved, is a moral movement. There is such a thing as obedient thinking, bringing our thoughts to the feet of Christ. This is what Paul speaks of here. So now we see how that phrase relates to the former. They have taken a reasoning process to estrange themselves from the apostle. This is not a good reasoning process, Paul says. Your speech about my contemptibility of appearance and my speech, the way I appear, my bodily weakness, all of those things, yes, those may play well in the academy. Those may play well in the halls of logic, if you will. Human reasoning that is not brought to the feet of Christ. But they don't play well here. Those things must be cast down. And they must be cast down by mighty spiritual weaponry. And then, not only that, that mighty spiritual weaponry not only casts those things down, but executes vengeance on them. You hear what he says? Look at verse 6. Having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That is, when you finally start thinking rightly about these things, then what that will engender in you as a part of repentance, as a part of your understanding, you will turn, and like he said in chapter 7, you'll execute vengeance on those ideas that are not from Christ. You see how strong and deep this passage is, how, can I say this, mighty it is. Okay, so having said all of that, notice how he says it in verse 7. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? This is a rhetorical question. They are to answer in being corrected here, yes, that's what we've been doing. They're to answer with shame, yes, that's what we've been doing. Now he says this, if any man trust to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ's, even so are we Christ's. There should not be this kind of separation between us, Paul says. Those folks that are criticizing us and estranging themselves from us, they do so on the basis of their profession to belong to Christ. But we belong to Christ too. So we ought to be working together, not at odds with one another, Paul says. We should not be distancing ourselves from one another. I remember talking to an elder once that was in another denomination. They had received a minister into their denomination. And he said, you know, this man from the very first day of his coming in among us was always trying to distance himself as more this and more that. More holy, more reformed, more this, more that. Paul is speaking against this here. Paul is saying, as you are Christ's, my my criticizers, so am I Christ's. Let's come together. Let's work these things out. Let's find a way to move forward together rather than thinking, if you increase, I must decrease, or if you decrease, I'm going to increase. Got to move away from that, Paul says. That's human reasoning that must be cast down and trampled upon. So then we have the part about him, about his bodily appearance. And then in verse 12, here's some of that reasoning that needs to be taken down. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Have you ever noticed? You can see this on social media. Let me go back to the first example that I gave when we began here in 2 Corinthians 10. There are a few ministers that have taken to themselves to go on social media and criticize other ministers. That's what they're doing. And you know who they get their likes from? Other ministers that do the same. They're comparing themselves among themselves. It's not wise, beloved. And yes, I've had those conversations behind the scenes, if you're wondering. I have. It's not just fronting them out here. We've talked about these things with other men. But we will not boast of things without our measure, outside of ourselves, according to the measure of the rule which God distributed unto us, a measure to reach even unto you. How dare you, Paul says, estrange yourselves from me. It was God that sent us to you. It was God that brought us together for the founding of the Corinthian church. How can you estrange me now? This is where the Lord sent me, to you, as far as you, Paul said. And then Paul will offer correction to those that detract from him. What does he say? He says, we're not going to boast outside of ourselves. Boasting of another man's work made ready to our hand. What has he said there? These guys that have come and have begun criticizing us and trying to steal your affections from us, they built upon the foundation that the Lord laid through us. Even in their endeavor to estrange you from us, they have to acknowledge that. You see the irony of it. Notice the sharpness of Paul's rhetoric here. By sharpness, I don't mean confrontational. I mean, notice how sharp the knife is with which he cuts the truth straightly. So then, we have endeavored, Paul says, not boasting of things without our measure of other men's labors, but having hope that when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you, according to our rule abundantly. That is, as Paul said before, they who preach the gospel should live of the gospel, but more than that, he said, that they who preach the gospel to particular folks ought to receive the encouragement of their abundance. When they advance in the faith, when they are raised up and edified, and when they are sanctified, and when they're drawn to Christ, all of those things together, that is the best fruit that the minister can receive. And so all of that being said, Paul will say this, that our hope is that you will be enlarged and then that we will be enlarged in return. So then, to preach the gospel in regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And then the chapter ends with this wonderful and sage advice. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Well, you can see how that relates to the former. You can see how it relates to those men that had marginalized Paul for outward and carnal reasons and had cried themselves up for their advanced rhetoric or whatever it was that they chose to make use of to inflate their skirts. And Paul says, well, let's be careful when we do that, because it's not one who commends himself that is commendable. It's the Lord who commends. And so we are left with this at the end, that the ministry is indeed coram Deo. It is before the eyes of the Lord. And we err as those who minister when we play to some other crowd, whether it's those who we compare ourselves with, whether it's to the Vox Populi, whatever it is. No, indeed. I think that, I'll close with this. One of my mentors once told me, I said, "Do you take Mondays off?" And he said, "Todd, Monday is my worst day of the week." Why is that? Because all of my inadequacies from the day before come flooding in. That's a good word, love. That's a good word. It's not he who commends himself, it's whom the Lord commends. Let's stand and call.